This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Forum on WSMI. I'm talking to the Director of Operations at HSHS, St. Francis Hospital, and that is Aaron Hunter. We're going to talk about a number of topics here that come to mind, and certainly right now COVID-19 comes into play in a big way. Welcome aboard. I understand this is a new role for you.
That is correct. I am 2 weeks into the role. Excited to be here and grow with our organization.
And tell us about your history with HSHS.
So I've been with HSHS for 6 years now, and I started as the nursing educator for the clinical areas. Within about a year, I grew into the emergency preparedness coordinator role. And essentially what that role does is looks at our emergency internal operations and how we will organize and gather for events such as a pandemic or a mass casualty incident and any other large scale events, maybe not even large scale, things that could absolutely have an impact on our operations and how to keep ourselves moving and taking care of our patients and our colleagues safely. In May of 2018, I think it was, I also assumed the role of infection prevention and continued to grow in that role as well. And yeah, so here I am today. Vacancy came with our administrative team, and I felt that it was the right time to try to continue to grow within HSHS and make those differences that have been very valuable from previous administrators.
Well, one thing that has struck me with HSHS, I spent a considerable amount of time in Springfield, and I remember when Dr. Charles Lucor, a cardiologist, ran St. John's up in Springfield for a number of years. And it seems like HSHS has really grasped the benefits of having someone with frontline experience in the healthcare field in the administrative role.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And I hope that I serve this ministry and our colleagues and our community well in this role. Well,
let's talk about the situation right now, the situation with COVID-19. We're starting to see adjustments with the rise of the Delta variant. How are visiting procedures changing right now? I understand there have already been some changes HSHS-wide and at St. Francis in particular.
Sure. As of today, we started to decrease the number of visitors that we're allowing at the bedside in our inpatient units and in our emergency department. And that's, you know, it's for a multitude of reasons, and these decisions are never easy decisions, but we have to think of the safety of our patients and our colleagues. So as of today, there's only one visitor allowed at the bedside for any adult patient. Pediatric patients can continue to have two parents at the bedside. And our emergency department is the same, one visitor who must remain with the patient for the duration of their visit, and two parents at the bedside who must remain with the patient during their visit as well.
Well, I know for some people hearing about restrictions, it just sounds like last year all over again, but that wouldn't be accurate. There were lessons learned, and this is certainly a fine-tuned process.
It very much is. You know, all of us in the healthcare industry echo the concerns with removing visitors from the bedside. It was just as difficult on us as it was on the patients and the families of those loved ones. You know, telling somebody they can't be with their loved one is incredibly difficult, and we do recognize that. And we know that it is very valuable for our patients to have their family members at the bedside. We always have people available to talk to family or any other support persons via phone to check on their patients too. We do try to keep those open lines of communication as much as possible.
Now, this is certainly a challenging time when we talk about the morale, when you think about going through it all over again, deja vu all over again, so to speak. How is the staff holding up to, I guess, battening down the hatches for the rise of the Delta?
Yeah. So, you know, staff are always concerned when we start to hear that the numbers are starting to rise and, you know, admissions are starting to increase. So I think taking this safety measure makes everybody feel a little more reassured that we're taking the right and proper steps to keep everybody safe within our walls.
We're speaking with Director Aaron Hunter over at HSHS St. Francis Hospital, and this is certainly a period in time where we have we've made some progress, and the dispersal of the vaccine has certainly been an impressive process, and I guess there are encouraging signs as far as more people taking the vaccine. What do you say to the people out there? What can they do to help the hospital and help themselves?
So that's a great question. You know, one of the most important things we can do is that hand hygiene, you know, making sure everybody's washing their hands frequently, staying away from others if you do feel an illness coming on, and communicating that effectively. You know, we encourage that with all of our healthcare providers and anybody else working within our walls. And it's been a very proactive stance we've taken through this pandemic. We also encourage people to, if you do have to come to the hospital or go anywhere before you go in public, check your own symptoms and your temperature at home before you do go out in public. Make sure you continue to wear that mask. It is important. It does protect you and it protects me.
And I guess with schools reopening, you just have to maybe even follow those restrictions a little more closely, mitigations, whatever you do to try to keep it at bay.
You bet. Absolutely. You know, just diligence. Stay diligent with all those things that we've talked about. Get your vaccine, wash your hands, make sure you stay away from others when you are feeling unwell and you're communicating that.
Well, I know HSHS St. Francis Hospital has been a great cheerleader, proponent, backer, whatever term you'd like to use, for helping boost the blood supply, not only because it's good for everybody, but obviously it's important to what you do. How important is this blood drive coming up on Tuesday?
Oh my goodness, so important. So many times we've heard that the blood supplies are very low. Summer always brings an increase in the usage of blood throughout the nation, really. So if there's any time that somebody does have the ability to donate, we ask you, please try to make an appointment and get that blood donated if at all possible.
Yeah, certainly there's been a concern, and I've heard it from folks on the Red Cross side and Impact Life that there's been a little trend of a downturn in donations of late.
That's very possible. I think people in general have wanted to try to stay away from anything that deals with healthcare, just so that, you know, they don't feel that maybe they don't want to make other people sick, or, you know, this misconception that going into these type of events might make you sick. And that's completely not true. You know, everybody's taking those extra precautions to keep everybody safe. And I still very much encourage people to donate blood. It is one of those things that we can do. It doesn't take very long. It's fairly easy and simple process, and it's not painful. And it can absolutely have a huge impact on many people.
Well, I know we saw a temperature spike here this past week. I know we've avoided extended heat waves for the most part. We have we've done pretty well in that department, but we've had a couple of flirtations with basically a borderline heat emergency at times. And one of the things you worry about getting lost in the shuffle, foodborne illness, and I guess this is the time of year where there are special concerns, and you've offered a lot of advice to folks in that department, because we talk a lot about COVID, but you can't take your eyes off of the other concerns out there.
Absolutely. Food safety should be in the front of our brains during the summer, especially when people are getting outside, they're starting to gather, having those, you know, small gatherings in your backyard, consuming potluck style foods. You know, foodborne illness is something that can be prevented, but it can be very much more challenging during the summer months, especially with the heat that we have been seeing. Bacteria does grow extremely fast in these warmer months. And it can double in as little as 20 minutes. And so, you know, the top things for people to really remember are, you know, keeping your food at the proper temperature. How long has it been sitting out? Is it something that, you know, after a certain period of time we need to dispose of? And making sure that those that are preparing or handling the food have been conducting proper hand hygiene processes. You know, always wash your hands before and after prep, and make sure that you wash again before you do consume that food. And when it really comes down to it, if you are in doubt of how long it's been there or how it was handled, throw it out, get rid of it, don't consume it.
And I see you say a meat thermometer is your friend.
Yes, it is. Undercooked foods can absolutely do devastating effects to your body and can make you quite ill. You have to make sure that those foods are cooked thoroughly, you know, 145 degrees for fish, steaks, and roasts, 160 for ground beef, pork, and lamb, and 165 for chicken and turkey.
I know recycling is a beautiful thing, but sometimes you don't want to recycle things like marinades. I mean, oh, gee, it works so wonderful, but under certain circumstances, you don't want to go back to that well.
Oh my goodness, yes. Especially if you've marinated some meat in there, you do not want to reuse that. Don't think you can cook it and cook out bacteria. Anything in that raw meat has been absorbed in that marinade, and really you need to discard it once it's touched that raw meat and you're done with that marinade.
I know we've seen power outages. If you have a power outage, I know food left unrefrigerated, you don't necessarily need a power outage for that to happen, just left on the shelf during a get-together. But regardless of circumstances, the clock starts ticking once it's out of the fridge.
It sure does. So anything that's been left unrefrigerated for more than 2 hours, especially, you know, if you've lost power or you can't get it in that refrigerator, make sure you discard it, because you don't want to take a risk with something that's going to make you sick later. And as that temperature does get really warm, if you have lost power and that temperature starts to get above 90 degrees, you need to reduce that time to 1 hour.
Well, washing your hands, I know it's one of those things. It just seems to be a beautiful universal thing, whether you're talking about COVID, foodborne illness, the flu, anything out there.
That is 100% true. Washing our hands is the single most effective way how we can protect ourselves and each other. And it's one of the most valuable things that we can do in the healthcare industry to protect our patients.
I know there's a science to how you bag groceries, what you put on the bottom, and that's just to protect them. So, for instance, eggs don't get crushed, but not necessarily the maintaining structural integrity, but the way you stack things in a cooler is important. And I thought this was interesting and pretty enlightening, some points you made in that regard.
Yeah, so, you know, when you put items in a cooler, make sure you don't have things that are going to leak and produce contaminants on top of other items, and make sure that your cooler is properly cooled and that everything maintains that temperature and doesn't creep above it. Otherwise, you can get into those foodborne illnesses again.
And I guess it's good to think small when you talk about containers with your leftover. I mean, I'll be honest, I have the male mind. My thing is, well, let's just put all the leftovers in one giant container. This will work out beautifully, but not so much.
No, you really should separate out your items. It really is a best practice, and it really can keep you from contaminating something if you potentially overlook something sitting out past the time it should be there.
I'll tell you, I needed you over my shoulder a few times in my 20s. You learn the hard way, but foodborne illness, hey, it's no joke. I know some of us, we think of foodborne illness, we think of 24 to 48 bad hours, but boy, it can go so much deeper than that.
And it can happen much, much faster than that. So if you start to have symptoms fairly quickly after consuming food, the first thing we need to be thinking of is that we have come in contact with some type of contaminated, undercooked, potentially raw food.
And it's one of those situations in life where it's good to be a self-starter. Don't just assume that, well, this was in the store, it's okay, I don't have to clean it. Take charge of your own food safety.
Absolutely. And a lot of people can learn more through CDC and foodsafety.gov on those safe food handling practices. And what we have found over time is that a lot of our foodborne illnesses can actually come from a lot of those prepared foods that we do believe are properly prepared that may have inadvertently come in contact with something that will contaminate it.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me today, Aaron Hunter, the Director of Operations at HSHS St. Francis Hospital, an infection preventionist. That is certainly invaluable in these times. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate the time with you. I hope everybody has some good takeaways from this and stays safe during the next several months to come.
Thanks again, Aaron Hunter, for joining us on today's edition of Forum. We'll see you again next week on Around Montgomery County. I'm Sean Balint for WSMI, wishing you a great weekend.